All right, well, a little technical difficulty resolved. I want to welcome everyone on the internet and, of course, everybody in the church to a wonderful Wednesday night here in Montgomery, Alabama, to Grace Bible Church. It is a possibility you may be tuning in tonight and are not aware that Brother Hampton passed away last Thursday. That being said, well, it's very sad. But as Brother Barry would have us do, we're continuing on. We're teaching the Word of God. But I'm glad that you're tuning in. I'm glad that every one of you are here tonight come to study the Word of God. With respect to the activities after the funeral, I would like to thank everybody who contributed to feeding. I think we fed the 5,000. I'm not sure, to be honest. But the ladies did a wonderful, wonderful job. They really need a hand. Everybody, not the perfect scenario to showcase the church, but obviously we had an opportunity that we wouldn't normally have had or haven't had in the past since we've been in this facility. With respect to Brother Barry passing away, we would like to offer our condolences to the family. We would ask that the family on the internet, please keep the family and Brenda in your prayers. Most everybody has lost somebody in the past. It's not easy. But with God's help, all things are possible. I've got two things I'd like to discuss, and the first one is a little short narration of a thought that I think perhaps is appropriate for a church who's gone through what we went through, losing Brother Barry. My heart's empty. I think most of you, your heart is empty also, not all of you, I'm sure. But with respect to that, I'm going to use a football analogy. I think it bears that we keep in mind. Okay. Hello. Okay, how about that? Test 1, 2, 3?
Yeah.
Test 1, 2, 3?
Stick it in your pocket.
How about that? Is that okay?
I will try that.
Okay.
Go ahead and introduce yourself. I don't know if you did.
Okay. And for those of you that don't know who I am, my name is Jim Berdow, and I've been worshiping here at Grace Bible for approximately 14 to 15 years. So, for those of you on the internet who don't know me, I welcome you and I'm glad that you're tuning in, because we're going to discuss the Word of God, and that is the primary function of this church. Using that football analogy before I had this technical difficulty, let me tell you that, this being Alabama and we're kind of a football state, Brother Barry was our quarterback. I want to address that. I want to address that quickly because I think it's important. But as we know, the quarterback sometimes goes out, sometimes in the second quarter. And what happens, of course, is between halves, you have to kind of, coach has to kind of regroup. He has to look at the situation. And it's not usually just a coach, it's usually several coaches. And I suspect that, I know that what happens is somebody is chosen to come in and try to take over where the primary quarterback has ceased to operate. Well, that takes care of the personnel issue, but let me state this. What we're really doing here is trying to teach the Word of God. And the goal is for every man to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us. That's the goal. So we've had to change our personnel around a little bit, but our focus is and will and should be on the Word of God and teaching the people any and every place that we can reach. Having said that, look at Philippians, if you will turn your Bible, please, to Philippians. That'd be chapter 3. Philippians 3, and I'll read in verse 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Paul writes, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." That's where we're pressing. That's where we have to press forward. If you'll turn to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Our quarterback is gone. But in 2 Timothy 2, 2, I read, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Our quarterback for approximately 25 years has been trying to teach men to teach other men. That was what Brother Barry tried to do, and has left many men in this congregation with the ability to communicate the Word of God. Go back to Philippians 4, if you would. Philippians 4, verses 4. Excuse me, Philippians 4, chapter 4. And we look in the, we're going to read in the fourth verse. Philippians 4, 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." I think that's an amen.
Amen.
"Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Please pray for this church. Please pray for the Hampton family. And let's continue to strive to the goal line. Now, what I really wanted to talk to you about today, subject matter, would be the word conformity. When I look into the New World Dictionary, I look the definition of conformity up, and this is what I read. It says, "To make the same or similar." Also states, "Bring into harmony or agreement." "To behave in a way," or another one is, "to behave in a way accepting without question." And let me continue on. These trifocals sometimes fool you. Let me read it all the way through. "To behave in a way accepting without question customs, traditions, or prevailing opinions." Interesting definition of conformity. I believe there's a lot of conformity out there in the religious world that we all live in. Well, one other definition was kind of interesting. In English history, in England, it meant adherence to usages of established church. And I'm trying to digest that a little bit. Conformity. In other words, as I interpret that, it says that in England, the idea of conformity was to adhere to what the church wanted to tell you to do. or what they expected, perhaps. In religion, and we know there's a difference between religion, and trusting the Lord. There's a difference there. But when you look at conformity in the religious world, conformity most often applies identification. And from identification, you identify with a religion, and these religions most often are based on man-made doctrine. They're not biblically sourced. Does that mean other men can question it? Yes. It also means that if you know what's in this Bible, you can question it with authority and understand that man-made doctrine is not is not biblical. If it's man-made, it is not biblical. End of story. I'll give you an example. You know, you got Joseph Smith of the Mormons. Not picking on the Mormons, but Joseph Smith kind of came up with his own program. So I understand. Never met Joseph Smith, by the way, but that's what I understand. And a problem with a man's doctrine is a man's view or doctrine is subject to division among the ranks. Because that's a very carnal position. And we all are carnal beings. So there is division among men in the difference of doctrine, the difference of opinion. Well, now let's look at grace for a minute, though. Grace in the religious world is non-conforming. Look at, if you will, 2 Timothy 2:15. Most of you already know what it says, but we'll slide over there real quick. Make sure we don't miss anything here. 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, once again, I said grace is non-conforming to the religious world. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, according to Paul, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. That's interesting. I talk to people a lot of times about this rightly dividing business, the word of truth. So if it's all truthful, why do you want to divide it? Pardon me?
Because the Bible tells you to.
Good point. And the Bible does, if in fact you have studied the Word of God appropriately. If you have let man to tell you what to study, you won't see this. Or in most cases, they don't see this. Right. Now, we could get off on some tangents here real quick. You got a point there, Sterling. All right. But the thing is, we're talking about nonconformity. Well, he says divide the truth. If you divide the truth, then there's some nonconformity to that, because all of us would assume that the truth is the truth is the truth, unless you've been rightly dividing the Word of God. Then you see, and the reason Paul says this is because he speaks to grace. He does not speak to the law, although he operated under the law at one point. He speaks to grace. He divides that truth because part of that truth is non-conformatory to what is taught in the churches today and the man-made doctrines therein. Now, we know that grace, if you look up the definition of grace, is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor simply is you don't have to do anything for it. It's not based on walking the aisle for Jesus, by the way. If it's free, you don't have to do anything for it. Unmerited is interpreted, it's free. You know, why is grace non-conforming? Well, to understand that, you might look at the fact that the law, the Ten Commandments, was very conforming. The law was pretty much One, two, three, four, five, obviously, ten, and there were many, 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 many others. But the ones we constantly hear about is the Ten Commandments. Well, so now we got law, which is conforming. We have grace that's non-conforming. Get that right in a minute. Turn, if you will, to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. Because I'm going to try to begin to answer why grace is non-conforming. And we're going to start with Ecclesiastes 7:20. Something we need to recognize. Those of you on the internet, you may want to recognize this too. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20 says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." I dare say it did not say there are some men that do good. It says there is not a just man that upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That tells me that these people that they're speaking about are non-conformist. And if you're living under the Ten Commandments, we have a problem, Houston. When you can't conform, that means you can't live by the law. Please, if you will, turn over to Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 9. Jamal, you're a good guy, even if you do have an Auburn shirt on. It's all right. I'm a Troy State graduate, Troy graduate, so that's okay. You can be Auburn because this side will be Alabama. That's okay. No problem. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, verse 9. "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin." Oops. Well, we know that the Ten Commandments, if you did all of them, you'd be conforming. This states that all are under sin, therefore they cannot be conforming. And you go on to 10. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Go down to 11. There is no hope. Okay. Yeah, There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Man, there's a bunch of non-conforming people. Verse 13. "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips." Well, these folks are not conforming. But according to Jewish law and the Ten Commandments, you got to be one, two, three, all the way down. But I haven't read anything here that tells me they're conformed. This is getting complicated. If you're a Jew, if you think like a Jew, if you receive the teaching you've had like a Jew, Turn, if you will, if we're going to contrast. I want to go back. I don't want anybody to lose the idea here. Why is grace non-conforming? That is, when we look at law versus grace. Let's go to Romans 3. Romans 3. Over there, 3:24. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ." Going on to 25 here. "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? By what law? Of works? Nay. But by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, all of a sudden now, we don't have the deeds of the law, according to what Paul is writing in Romans. The people that were nonconformists under the Ten Commandments now have an opportunity. Pretty interesting. What do you think, Sterling? Okay. If you will, go over to, we'll just continue on, probably your same page. Romans 4, chapter 4. See, basically, we're speaking about grace, and grace is not conforming to the law. So that's nonconformity. If you go to Romans 4, verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That does not conform to what is being taught through most churches or religions in America. Now, you can try to scramble this up, but you can't if you look at the definition of conformity. And by the way, I do have notes. I'm sorry. I know Brother Baber prefer that I not have notes. But it's difficult to do without notes.
Amen.
And if I've been doing this for 25 or 30 years, I probably can get rid of these notes.
Right. Amen.
We give you a little praise.
Thank you. Now, for those that maybe hasn't been studying grace for the last 5, 10, 20 years, or whatever the case may be, or maybe you're on the Internet and you simply don't know where I'm coming from, let's continue on. But let's make sure you kind of understand where this grace is coming from, which is nonconformity versus some conformity. To understand maybe this conformity in this Ten Commandment business, it may be important for you to know that we need to look at Galatians 2, starting with verse 7, Galatians 2. Galatians 2, verse 7. I want to identify this guy called Peter. This is the same Peter that most churches teach about most every Sunday, or at least 4 or 5 times a year at just the right time. But contrary-wise, Paul was meeting Peter, by the way, for those who don't know or understand this. But contrary-wise, when they saw... that was Peter and his group, saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, which that says Paul, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Now, the gospel of the circumcision was specifically the law given to the Israel. So now we know that Peter, this is the indication that Peter was apostle to the Jews, one of the apostles. But for those that don't know, and I always have to digress because I want to make sure that everybody and those on the Internet know where we're coming from. What Peter's apostle to the Jews. So let's look at Romans 11:13 and find out a little bit about Paul. Romans 11, verse 13. Paul writing here in Romans, for those who may not know. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Paul is an apostle to the Gentiles, where Peter is an apostle to the Jews. The Ten Commandments were given to Israel. That's very conforming. But let's look at some other concepts taught by Peter and Paul, just so that we understand some differences. Look at Acts 10. Acts 10, verse 35. Acts 10, 35. We're talking about Peter now. Remember, he's of Israel. He's an apostle to the Jews. He's dead on this Ten Commandments stuff, which, by the way, was given by God as a schoolmaster to teach us right and wrong. So there is some validity, a lot of validity to the Ten Commandments, because it was teach the Jews what was right and wrong, because without the Ten Commandments, they wouldn't know. But what does Peter say in Acts 10? Well, we can go with 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Worketh righteousness. Remember that word, worketh. Now, let's go back to Galatians. Go back to Galatians, if you would, please. In Galatians 1, verse 11. Now, we just talked about the works of righteousness with Peter, and his conforming teaching, his teaching which was conforming to the Ten Commandments and the works therein. Paul says in Galatians 1:11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, and neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Okay. Well, Paul's got a pretty direct connection here to Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God that I'm reading. Well, let's explore Paul just a little more. Let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians 3. In Ephesians 3, verse 9. 3:9. Paul says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Paul now says he received the mystery. We read back in Galatians that he received a direct revelation from Jesus Christ. This Paul's got something to say. Now, let's follow this out just a little while longer. I know it seemed a little tedious, but Paul's got a lot to say. Let's look at Romans 16. If you turn over to Romans. Romans 16, verse 25. Romans 16, 25. "Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel," Paul's referring to his gospel that was revealed unto him by Jesus Christ, which was a mystery before time, and he continues to say, "Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." Might I challenge you on the internet, if your pastor or your church has failed to discuss this mystery, you might want to get into the Word of God and find out what Paul knows, if in fact you don't know it. What we want to do here in Grace Bible is open your eyes. If there's things you don't know, you need to know. And we'll let the Holy Spirit minister unto you after that, after you read the Word study the Word. We're just a roadmap from where we're at right now. But we're going to tell you where you need to go. We hope and pray that you will, in fact, go there, study the Word, and find out what this mystery is that Paul refers to. You'll turn to Romans 4, 5 now. Romans 4th chapter. In Romans 4, we're going to look at verse 5. As earlier we talked about Peter in Acts 10:35 was talking about the works of righteousness. And here all of a sudden we're looking at Romans 4, verse 5, and Paul says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now we got Peter on one hand, who's standing on this Ten Commandment business, which once again had its value because it told the Jews and it tells us what's right and wrong. But we also found out that there's no one good, no, not one. So obviously man in his carnal being is unable to conform to the Ten Commandments perfectly. So Paul's preaching faith. Well, that's pretty interesting. Because he also told us in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we need to rightly divide the word of truth. It may be, and I would actually advocate that what we're really seeing is that when you divide the truth, there is truth that conforms and applied to Israel, and there is truth that conforms to grace. Two different programs. And if you're not of Israel, you might want to seriously consider grace, who was sent to the Gentile nations. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians 3, we want to look at verse 11 through 13. Didn't feel quite right. Now I know why, because I had to tape it up today because part of it had torn out, and I was sitting there doing this, and that tape, what's wrong with this thing here? Thought I had two or three pages stuck together. Galatians 3. And if you, by the way, if you have a Bible that you turn on a regular basis on Sunday or on Wednesday or any other time at home on a regular basis, they'll get wore out. So I'd like to also advocate that if your Bible's not wore out, there's a strong indication that you may not know what's in this book. Because I ain't seen a Bible yet made that was indestructible. Galatians 3, verse 11. Let's see if I can find it. Okay. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God." That's a strong statement. Not justified in the sight of God. Not justified by the law in the sight of God. "It is evident, for the just shall live by faith." So for those out there in internet land or in the church here, might realize that it's by faith that you're justified, but it's the faith of Jesus Christ that we're justified. He had the faith of his Father and was persecuted and hung on a tree and shed blood so that we might be forgiven. Let me try that again. So that we are forgiven.
Amen.
Sometimes words can get you in trouble, folks.
Amen.
But when I got a guy like Larry over there, it makes me run it back real quick.
Galatians
Say again, Jane.
The man with the sword.
There you go. Boy, I could feel it from over here.
Bite your ear off.
Anyhow, back to Galatians 3 and verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, is it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. Would everybody say this? The law is not of faith. That means that the two are mutually exclusive, which also means they don't conform to each other. Which also means there's two different stories in this book.
At least.
At least. But to what we're talking about, yeah, you're right. That's another rabbit trail we could run off on. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Curse of the law? Man, the law was conforming, but it was a curse on man. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus Christ hung on a tree, folks. He took a beating physically, mentally, in every way you can think about it. And I'm going to go on to 14 because I like what it says, that the blessing of Abraham might come onto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. But the law is finite. And you either conform to it or you don't. Well, hold on. Let's look at Galatians 3, verse 22. 22 through 28. But the Scripture hath concluded, all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, it says, but before faith came, indicating something prior to faith, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. So Paul is bringing us something here. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Amen.
Amen.
We are no longer under the schoolmaster, which it is referring to the Ten Commandments, and many others, but everybody pretty much hangs their hat on the Ten Commandments. My goodness, you in internet world, I hope you see this. This should take a burden off of you when you realize that you're not being condemned if you know what's in here. You realize your condition. You accept Jesus Christ knowing that you're no good. Because, by the way, I hate to tell you this, and it may come as a shock to some of you, but I ain't no good, folks. I'm up to here, but I'm still up to here no good. And the only two guys I can see that are up to here, no, it's three. That's Carlton, Dan, and William. So there's three of us up to here. And if I were to say, I can't speak to them, but I'm no good.
That's right. Amen. Me too.
It's not an exclusive club, is it, Wayne?
No, sir.
Did you say you had a corner on that? No, okay. Well, come on down. There's room for all of us. Let me know if I got all the way to 20. Okay, so you see. But after faith has come, in 25, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you, or ye, are all one in Jesus Christ. Amen. So now we got one Christ, one Savior, one God, and we're all one. It is a shame that we've got so many varieties of churches out here trying to conform to man-made doctrine and creeds all over the place, spending mega dollars to market their church, to bring people to them, because, as one of my ex-pastors in another faith said, what kind of programs does your little church have? I got the best program.
Amen.
It's called the Word of God, folks. I don't need a program. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit, if you put your nose in here, will tell you what's going on, and the Holy Spirit will create a program in you.
Amen.
Go to 1 John, if you would, please. You didn't know you were going to get your dollars worth tonight, but I got plenty to say. 1 John. First John chapter 2, the third verse. It says, "In this is Peter now. Peter and his Ten Commandments, by the way. That conforming part of the Bible that I'm not conforming to, because I have been told by this Bible that I'm no good and I cannot conform. So thank God that this place is for those who are nonconformist." Peter says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." Well, I maintain that if you rightly divide the word of truth, you'll once again see that the Ten Commandments are over here, and grace is over here. Peter is over here, and Paul is over here. It's two different programs, and God is not an author of confusion.
Amen.
Therefore, there must be two different truths, but there's two different missions. And I'd rather, if you want to call it a ball game, I'd rather be on the winning team. Because you don't get a playoff in the Bible when Jesus Christ died for you. He did it one time. We cannot conform to righteousness of God because we are condemned by the law. Unless, the word unless comes up in my mind, unless we accept what Christ did for us. Look at 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 19 to 21 here. Paul writes, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Folks, not imputing simply means He's not putting it to your account, your trespasses. Ain't that the program you'd like to be on? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God, for He hath made Him, God hath made Christ Him, for He hath made Him, that is Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. That's a wonderful thing to receive. But you can't do it conforming to the Ten Commandments, because this book says that we're all no good. Look at Romans 12. Romans 12. And Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'll read verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, this is Paul writing again, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. See, y'all thought I dreamed that word up. I didn't dream it up. It's in this book. And be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be conformed not to this world. Look at Romans. Go back to Romans 8 for a minute. This church knows about some sorrow. Some of us, if not all of us, know about a lot of sorrow. This world, as Brother Dub Hampton says, is not made for sissies. But intelligent sissies read this book and have someone show them what it says. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28. Brother, you're the best sound man I ever heard. You know this stuff before I speak it. That's good. That's why you're there and I'm up here and you're watching me. By the way, I love Larry to death. Don't pay me no attention. Oh, Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? See, I still got 6 minutes to go. Man, let me go to that other. Let's get back to this other one. Conformity. The Church of England wanted you to be conformed to what they had to say, how they wanted it to be done. But I don't belong to the Church of England, so I don't really have to worry about it. But obviously, this word extracted from the King James Bible has been around a while, and they used it. But like I say, William, you don't go to the Church of England, do you not? Okay. Have you ever been across the pond out there? And there's many of us on this side of the Atlantic as there are on the other side. So evidently, we had to find our own program. And folks, you can't find your program unless you get into this book. But I have to admit, it's for men to teach other men. Brother Barry, bless his heart, taught other men.
Amen.
I suspect all of you, like me, was overwhelmed with emotion that Barry had touched so many people. And I feel honored to have known him for 15 years and he mentored me and taught me the Word of God. Now, I'm not a scholar, folks. There's a lot about this Bible I don't know and need to know. But if you got some serious questions, if I don't know it, and I may not, then we're going to talk to Larry over here. He's like Barry, he don't need the book. And that is wonderful. That's a testimony to Barry's teaching and to Larry's listening. You know, don't tell me an architect can't listen and learn. Even though sometimes buildings fall down. So the question tomorrow is, do you want to be a conforming follower of some religion? Or do you want to be a non-conformist to religion? Huh?
Non-conformist.
The reason being would be what? It's a test question now. One question. Because non-conformity does not conform to though the Ten Commandments is there, it does not conform to what Peter was trying to teach. Because as a nonconformist, we're reading the rest of the information in this Bible that is not normally taught in all the other churches that I've been to. You know, and I've been, how many of you have been to more than two different kinds of churches? How many of you have been to more than three kinds of churches? It gets better with the age. How about four? Okay. Five? Did I hear five anywhere? You got a five. The reason that, and I forgot to raise my hand on those four or five too. I'm sorry. I get kind of, I'm thinking out loud and I'm thinking ahead, not loud. And yeah. Don, you said you need my calculator. Here. Oh, okay. Well, the reason is, in your spirit, you or I or anybody here that have gone to the different churches and have not stuck, it's because your spirit is non-conforming. You are seeking, or were seeking, until you landed here. You were seeking information about your God that made sense. The Word of God, rightly divided, to me, and I've been to all the different churches too, made more sense because if you read it, it says what it says. You don't have to have someone interpret it. You can read it. But I can assure the viewing public that if you don't read it, I promise you, you won't understand it. And if you don't understand it, you are susceptible to being led any place, anywhere, any other man who stands in a pulpit across the land of America.
Sure.
It's imperative that you find somebody who understands right division, and it's in the book. So you can't say it's not in the rule book, folks. It's here. It's necessary. I believe we've just about run out of time. I appreciate everybody tuning in on the Internet. And we'll be back Sunday at 10 o'clock, as usual. No difference. And I don't know who's going to be bringing the lesson. But the good thing about it is, if you tune in, then you'll be surprised. Have a great night. And appreciate everybody attending tonight.